You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with an epic collapse. Oh, did you see what happened to Boston last night? And then the way it actually ended. If you didn't, you aren't going to believe it. Meanwhile, free agent frenzy is upon us. The biggest decisions come first, which means these guys right now. Plus, you cannot miss Stephen A's response to Dak Prescott's latest concern. Oh, what a day we got ready for you. We are delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Starting right now, it is Squad is in effect. Great to have Austin here. And I speak for us all when I say, great to have RC back,
my What's up, my guy?
All right, you had me worried for a minute there. Okay. Oh, Lewis Riddick is also up early with us this morning. Tons of football today. But Austin, you got to explain what happened to the Celtics last night. Comeback of the year in the NBA in Cleveland. Celtics came in having won 11 straight. Kelce brothers are there. It's their bobblehead night. Jason Tatum having fun. This bucket puts them up 22 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we see from Boston all the time. Jason Tatum being aggressive, getting to the basket, getting to the line. The duo is what I see as the best duo in the NBA, Jason Tatum.
But then it was vintage D-Wade. And by that, I mean
Dean.
D-Wade. Someone named Dean Wade went crazy last night. I mean, vintage. Cavs, that one cut it to three with 4 minutes left. Remember, it was a 22-point lead. Then how about George Niang in the corner? The Cavs are in it.
Can't leave him open. Shooter, they call him the minivan. Bah!
Knocks it down. It's a 25-6 run that ties the game now. Final 23 seconds, Cavs down. Oh, it's D-Wade again. Cavs take the lead. They're up by one. Now, here's your ball game. Jason Tatum working, probing. Remember, they're down by one. Wait, he gets the whistle. But wait, there's more. They'd look at it again. Was it or was it not a foul, Austin?
I'm going foul.
You believe he should have gotten the foul?
I know he kicked out, but people got to understand a fadeaway, that is a natural motion of a shooter. It's to kick out your legs a little bit. He also got him on the chest. But I don't mind the no call. You can't give up a 20-point lead, man. That just can't happen.
So let's explain exactly what happened. The Celtics blow the lead of 22 points in the fourth quarter. Our analytics say they had a 99.9% chance to win. The Celtics, as an organization, had won 364 consecutive games when leading by 20 at any point in the fourth quarter. But in case it wasn't clear as we went through it there, they actually blew the whistle on the play with Tatum, reviewed it, and decided to rescind the foul. No foul. Game ends there. So once again, Austin, do you believe that should have stood as a foul?
This is a 50-50 call, man. This is really close. I think sometimes when you're at home, this is one of those calls that go your way.
Right.
Especially when you come back down from 20. You had the whole crowd, the momentum. Like y'all said, it was Travis Kelce. The Kelces were in the house. Everything was going for the Cavs. You know, sometimes you got to give the crowd what they want.
I mean, you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? You have the Max Strus fourth quarter where he goes for 15 and you win the game on the half-court shot. And now Dean Wade has an excellent game and you finish against the Boston Celtics. The only thing to me is if you call the foul, the foul should stand.
Yep.
I think once you review it, now you're starting to critique it and look at it a different way. If live in that moment, that seems like a foul to you. You heard Austin say that's the natural motion of a fadeaway. And it's also sort of the finish through by Darius Garland that causes that foul. I think it should have stood. But if you're the Boston Celtics, that's not what Joe Mazzulla is talking about when they get in meeting.
No, absolutely. First of all, Tatum pushes off clearly with the elbow at the beginning of the play, but that's not what they review. They called the foul on Garland and then overturned it. Yeah. They decided there was indisputable visual evidence that it wasn't a foul. That's a very, very puzzling decision that's made in the final moment there. We'll have much more hoops as we go. But as we speak, You hear that sound, that buzzing in the air? It's the internet going crazy. It's all these general managers and personnel people as we are 5 days to the official start of NFL free agency. Let's go through some fits. RC, talk to me about Saquon Barkley. He's now a free agent. What's the best place for him?
Saquon Barkley has already linked up with CJ Stroud. They've had some good conversations, and that's the exact place that he should want to go. This is the team that was a playoff team last year. They met a buzzsaw in the Baltimore Ravens in that defense because they couldn't create a run game. What Saquon Barkley can do in the run game and also being explosive, utilized in the pass as well, I think that would be a match made in heaven for the running back and also the team.
Kmart, Kirk Cousins may become a free agent. Yeah. What's the best spot for him?
Greeny, if he leaves Minnesota, it's clear. The Atlanta Falcons. Number one, happy wife, happy life. His wife, Julie, grew up in Alpharetta, Georgia, so that's number one. Also, Zach Robinson, a Sean McVay disciple. And then number three, the biggest issue, the fact that they have all those weapons that we never got to see them use. So Raheem Morris, Kirk Cousins, I think that'll be
great. You're too good a journalist to bury that lead.
I want to start with his wife.
Also, you have to remember Raheem Morris was on the staff in Washington when Kirk Cousins took over for RG.
They've got all the weapons in the world. Meanwhile, Lewis, how about Russell Wilson? What's the best fit for him?
Well, considering that I think Russ at this point is a temporary option, just a filler, a bridge quarterback, I think there's two. I think the Steelers, he's someone that they should consider to bring in and provide competition for Kenny Pickett, and then he could be a high-level backup. Or the Giants now obviously have entered the mix, because if it's true that they have now really wanted to or are wanting to turn the page on Daniel Jones and they're going to draft a young quarterback, Russ needs to be that guy who's also a bridge quarterback until the time that a young quarterback is ready to take over there. So I think those are the two best ones for him going forward.
Okay, that's an interesting one. So let's stop down there for a moment. For the folks who weren't with us yesterday, RG3, look, there's been a lot. It's become very fashionable to bash Russell Wilson. Say about that what you will. RG3 came on yesterday with the exact opposite intention. He wanted to defend the honor, if you will, of Russell Wilson, both literally and figuratively, and this is what he said.
They brought Russell Wilson in to win Super Bowls in Denver. He didn't accomplish that. That was an utter failure. But to say that he is not a starting quarterback in the NFL, I feel like I'm losing my mind, like I'm losing my senses. Russell Wilson is a bona fide starter in the NFL, and we got to stop talking about him in the sense of, oh, he's just washed and he shouldn't be playing anymore.
So then that was the most important piece of what was a bigger and I think more nuanced conversation about what Russell Wilson is, what he's brought on himself, what he isn't, perhaps most importantly, anymore. The one thing we know he is available to anyone who wants him at a ridiculously reasonable price, right? For the folks who are not following this, Kmart, give me the talk at the combine. You were there where I know you didn't sleep at all. So I know you got a lot of conversation time.
Yeah, no.
Talk to me about what you're hearing about Russell.
The most attractive thing about Russell right now is the price tag. The fact that we know that the Denver Broncos are on the hook for $39 million. So whatever team that signs him, if they pay him vet minimum, the Broncos would eat the rest of that. They would have to pay the 39 minus whatever he's getting, which makes him super attractive because he's not asking for Kirk Cousins money. You know that you could get a potential starter at a discount price. And it's really that price tag that makes teams think, okay, we should consider him. Honestly, not. The play itself.
Well, that's really the question here. I mean, Lewis Riddick, what is, at this moment in time, Russell Wilson, a player who 3 years ago not one person wouldn't have said is on his way to the Hall of Fame, what is he right now?
Yeah. He's a stopgap starter is what he is right now. Look, he's a mid-level starter. Look, to call him not a starter, look, there's levels to everything, right? I mean, there's levels to being a starting quarterback in the NFL. Could he be a top half thrower in terms of QBR, completion percentage above expectation, passer rating? Yeah, he could be a top half, meaning 16 or higher. Yeah, I think he could be. Is he going to still be that guy who is going to be a consistent top 10 thrower in all advanced metrics? No, he's not going to be. And on top of it, look, there's other things that come along with being the starter, the franchise guy, the guy, as RG3 said, is being brought in to win Super Bowls. And a lot of that has nothing to do with what is going on the football field. It is how you are able to integrate yourself within the organization and elevate everyone else. And quite honestly, there are two organizations so far now, counting, that being Seattle and Denver, who don't feel as though he has that dynamic anymore, who don't feel as though he is that guy anymore. And whether you like it or not, regardless of what he has done in the past, that's just not how people are looking at him at this point.
Right.
So for Russ, you're right. He's in a good situation right now as far as having the money that's coming from Denver and for teams being able to then sign him on the cheap. And I think he's going to have to come to grips with that. You are going to be a bridge, or you are going to be a high-level backup, regardless of what you did during your heyday in Seattle. That's just the way it is. And quite honestly, I don't think that's being disrespectful to him. That's just being honest about the state of the game as it relates to him.
Yeah, I think Lewis is being more than respectful when he's talking about Russell Wilson's play. You go back 2 years ago under Nathaniel Hackett, and that season and campaign alone sort of ruined the way we looked at Russell Wilson and his legacy as it pertained to the Hall of Fame. And then you get to the next year, and now there are all these things coming out about Russell Wilson's personal life. Sean Payton immediately attacking him there. What happened to Russell Wilson, the guy in Seattle that everyone wanted their daughter to marry? What happened to the Russell Wilson that you said would lead a program or lead an organization, and from standing out in front of that organization would, even if you didn't think he said the things you wanted him to say, would never say the wrong thing?
Mm-hmm.
What about that presentation? What about the guy we all applauded and the way that he went about his business? And so now what happens is, when that dude doesn't seem to be playing at an elite level, let's dump on him. Let's say that he can't be a part of an organization. Let's say he can't be a part of a locker room. I also don't think that Russell Wilson is a guy that's going to be the franchise starter for the future for a team. But can he play? When you look at last year and the way that he adjusted his game to fit what Sean Payton wanted, he did those things. And let's remember, Bailey Zappe finished as a starter.
Right.
Garner Mitchell finished as a starter.
Yeah.
Aiden O'Connell finished as a starter.
Right.
And so now we're going to look at Russell Wilson and say Russell Wilson can't be a starter, right? No, lies you tell. Let's stop trying to build a case against Russell Wilson and figure out where Russell Wilson can fit.
Well, it's not up to us, though. We can debate it. We can talk about it. He clearly can play. But again, other teams, other coaches who are thinking about, do you want Russell or do you want a Justin Fields or a Baker? That's where it comes into. So I don't disagree with RG3, but I'm not the one who's trying to add him to my team. Other people are trying to do that.
Well, look, again, you can talk about, you get Kirk Cousins for $40 million. You can get Baker Mayfield for some other number of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You can get Justin Fields by trading away valuable assets. Or you can get Russell Wilson for absolutely nothing.
But you have to
look
at what you have, though. Like, even talking to an offensive coach yesterday, it was, hey, you need more pieces around him so he can be a point guard facilitator as opposed to the guy running everything.
Quick final word, Lewis, go.
Yeah, I think the question that every team will have to ask is, look, are you willing to let Russell play the way Russell used to play when everyone used to use the phrase, let Russ cook? And a lot of teams don't want to allow him to play that way. Teams want him to play more in structure, more, I don't want to say regimented, but they want him to really paint by the line, so to speak, paint by the numbers, so to speak. And if you're not willing to let him go ahead and kind of create and do the kind of things off schedule that really made him what he was in Seattle, it's really just not worth it considering all the other things that he may bring to the table. Remember, Andrew Brandt coined this phrase, the greater the talent, the greater the tolerance. I just don't know if Russ's talent at this point is something that will enable people to tolerate all the other things that come along with him.
It's like we don't want to hang around Russ because some people think he's like a little corny. Like you know what I mean? Like, and he showed you that if dealing with this is what quarterbacks do. If I'm in a building that's going to let me do certain things, I'm going to do them. If you're going to let me have an office, I'm going to have an office. If you're going to let me bring my coach in, I'm going to bring the coach in. We heard nothing about Russell Wilson this year with Sean Payton saying that he was pushing back on the rules and regulations of the new head coach. And so we have to stop. To me, we got to stop doing that.
Yep. I'm with you. I think that's what RG3 was saying. I think you're 100% right. I think Russell is being... He is being viewed from an unfair perspective because people have a perspective on him that they want, and they are pushing that forward. It doesn't mean he's going to be a great player, but he's way better than the way he's being talked about
now.
Go ahead, Lewis.
The last thing I'm going to say is this, though. I don't think people are just creating things. I don't think people are making up things. Okay, everyone has what they like and what they don't like. I don't think people are making up anything against Russell Wilson because they just decided to pick on him. I think this is just the way it is at this point. And look, we can debate this until the cows come home, but the fact of the matter is he's just not going to be looked at as a franchise-caliber quarterback that's going to lead a team to the promised land. It's just not that way
anymore. That part I agree with.
That part I agree with.
Although stranger things have happened than a resurrection of that sort. In the meantime, let's talk about another quarterback. Dak feels attacked. I promise I won't rhyme that. Anyway, he's getting criticism about the Cowboys' culture. You just have to hear Stephen A.'s response. I just need you to hear what Stephen A. said, and you will. Plus, are the Giants ready to move on from their quarterback? There was something that was said this week that has Lewis fired up, and you'll hear it next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up. We're brought to you by DirecTV. Now stream DirecTV satellite free. All right, we've got a great game of sound off to play for you today. In case you haven't heard it, our friend Rich Eisen on his show came back from the combine and had the following to say about the New York Giants and their $40 million quarterback, Daniel Jones.
The Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Done.
Wow. Absolutely done.
Done. Might have to play him this year.
Whoa.
But that ain't it. And they feel that ain't it. The words I heard at the combine multiple times, two words were buyer's remorse.
So that came up. And our friend Mr. Riddick had a reaction to it. Lewis, what do you think of that?
Look, 13 months ago, their owner, John Mara, said, we've done everything we could. We've done everything in the world, everything possible to screw this kid up in terms of the structure that they put around him with the coaching staff, the support he had on the offensive line, the support he had at the skill positions, all of it. And then just, you know, in March of last year, almost to the day, they gave him a contract, $36 million signing bonus, $92 million guaranteed. $36 million to sign. That's his money. $92 million virtually guaranteed. He played 6 games this year. He was sacked 30 times in 6 games. Their pass block win rate's in the bottom quarter of the NFL. Andrew Thomas missed time this year. John Michael Schmitz, their center that they drafted out of Minnesota, missed time. Evan Neal is still a work in progress at right tackle, the draft pick out of Alabama. Darren Waller, who they signed from the Raiders, who they got from the Raiders, is a guy who didn't pan out for them in the way that they hoped. They have no weapons on the perimeter, and now all of a sudden, now they're done. Now we're done after six games of playing last year. He has a neck injury. After six games, and the owner making the comments less than a year ago, or just over a year ago, that they have done everything they could to screw this kid up. Now they're done with him, and now they have buyer's remorse, and now they may be in the market for another quarterback. On top of the fact that now Brian Daboll has gone from being a coach of the year to having turmoil throughout his staff, people leaving, people wanting to leave, and now maybe, you know, the speculation now is about whether or not he's coaching for his job. Isn't that amazing how stuff can turn on its head? And you wonder why the Giants have not been able to make some headway right now in the East and be true contenders. Because when you have this kind of thing that is happening within one calendar year, there's no way you can make headway. There's just no way. And I just think it's unfortunate. Look, I've never been a big supporter of Daniel Jones. I've always had my issues. But when you have this kind of flip-flopping and this kind of like 180 turns away from people and these kind of like structural deficiencies, no wonder you can't make up any ground. No wonder.
I mean, let's be honest, though. It wasn't a consensus that giving Daniel Jones that contract was the right thing to do. Right?
But they did it willingly, right?
And what Mr. Mara was trying to do was convince himself of something that he wasn't convinced of, that people were asking him questions about. Mm. He had to sit there and defend giving Daniel Jones $40 million and saying, yes, the consistency or the play we've wanted to see from him hasn't been there, but a lot of that is our fault. And if we could fix that, that's why we gave him this money. Remember, last year went well for the Giants because of the way they started. And then we watched him teeter towards the end and get blown out late in the playoffs against the Philadelphia Eagles. And so when you look at this team, this is more of what this team was supposed to look like. This is more of who we thought Daniel Jones can be. And I have never made a purchase, right? I've never made a purchase and ended up having buyer's remorse when I made that purchase 100% knowing at that time it was the right thing to do. Now, if you're hearing buyer's remorse, it's because when you gave him the money, you were thinking, we got to give him this money. Yeah. He's the quarterback, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
No, at the time, because the whole question of, like, do they pay Saquon? Okay. Do they pay Daniel? Do they tag Saquon? What are they going to do? No one felt like that decision was like, you know what? I see what the Giants are doing. Everyone was like, they're kind of stuck. So, okay. And that's not how you want to operate whenever you have a quarterback situation. Look at the Giants. What if you're a Giants fan, what can they sell you on that gives you excitement about this season? Is it the quarterback? They're about to lose Saquon. Like, what is it? Offensive line, year after year, they can't seem to get that right. The coaching staff, the GM, what about this team excites you?
Lewis, finish it up.
Here's the thing. This is not just a Daniel Jones issue, is my point. And see, that's what John was saying. And I don't think he's trying to convince himself of anything. The facts are what they are. They have not been able to solidify this offensive line. They do not have anybody at wide receiver since going back to the Odell Beckham when he made the catch on Monday Night Football against Dallas. They don't have anybody like that. And the kid got hurt his neck, played six games, was getting the crap beat out of him. And now people just want to boil it down to one decision, which is, you know what? Daniel Jones stinks. Let's just reset. You know, that really popular phrase that everyone uses. They just need a reset at the quarterback position. Like, just go, hey, you know what? I just want to kind of, like, look at the light and forget everything that happened in the past. Boop, and let's just restart. No, they caused this situation. They caused it. He's part of the problem, but they caused the situation.
Yeah. I don't think anyone is arguing that. Yeah. That's obvious. Look, if you're going to make a decision of that magnitude – without certainty of it, and the proof of the fact that they weren't certain is that they're willing to change their mind this
so
quickly.
The other thing
that struck me, though, Rich Eisen said they're absolutely done with him, but they may be stuck playing him this year.
They are.
That's
why
the
are
worst
they stuck?
Case
why
scenario.
Why are they stuck?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's the point. All right, let me go to a quick break here. I have so much to do. We're jam-packed. Oh, a reminder. ESPN Bet is the official sportsbook of ESPN and the only place to find exclusive offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play. Coming up, we get to the, I promised you, Dak on the attack. You need to hear.
I want more rhyming, Greeny.
Stephen A's response. Oh, Dak on the attack, and Stephen A was not whack. He took it to the rack next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up at the bottom of the hour. I've been promising you this, and it's going to be worth it. We begin sound off with Dak Prescott and Stephen A. Smith. So all this conversation about the Cowboys and their culture problem, Dak was asked about it. His response drew a response from Stephen A. Just enjoy.
The culture's high, honestly, and the culture's great from my standpoint. That's something I've always bragged on and took pride in. So if there's questionings of that, concerns on that, I feel attacked. I'm sure some guys in the locker room do.
You damn right it's an attack against you, because you should be better than you have been as a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys come postseason time, and you haven't been. And the fact that y'all could walk around with a straight face talking about there ain't no culture problems is evidence that there is a culture problem.
You're damn right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen. So Dak, and listen, he always says the right thing, and that's the right thing to say. But if I'm understanding that correctly, he feels attacked by people suggesting the Cowboys have a culture problem, but not by two of his highest profile teammates having their family members openly questioning him, his money, his leadership, and everything else.
Yeah, I think if you're Dak Prescott, you're just going to go by the way that you're treated by your teammates. Mm. You're going to go by what happens when you're within the locker room, what happens when Michael Parsons gets on his podcast continually publicly to back Dak Prescott, whether it's as a leader, whether it's as an MVP candidate. And I think that's what Dak is focusing on. Also, when you're talking about a culture, yes, this team hasn't won playoff games, but they've been a team that in the regular season has shown that they could be one of the tops in the NFC. And so I think Dak Prescott is speaking from that standpoint. What they have is an entitlement problem.
What does that mean? What's the difference?
When things do start going well, they think that this is what it's supposed to be. Mm. This is what we deserve. This is going to keep happening no matter how I go to work, no matter how I practice, no matter how I show up to the stadium, no matter how I prepare. Because in the offseason, Greeny talked about us every day. During the season, Kmart had to report on us constantly. Lewis Riddick had to talk about the moves that we were making to make our team better. And they start to feel themselves. It's not that they don't have a culture that can foster winning. It's that they have an entitlement that can't foster consistency in the biggest moments.
See, I actually think they have a dog problem. They are a very good team, but when you talk about winning culture, you can't tell me we have a winning culture, do well in the regular season, but then when the postseason comes, you wilt under pressure. You can't have an MVP caliber season, get congratulated for it, and then when the playoffs come up small. You can't consistently talk about why are people talking about us, bad-mouthing us, and consistently come up short. Mm. Like, when the playoffs come, like, that's when we see dogs. And I think they don't have enough of that right now.
Lewis.
Cowboys have a personnel problem, all right? Look, there are certain cracks in this foundation, in this football team, in this roster that show up during the regular season too, despite the fact that they're winning 12 and 13 games, that you know if they run up against a certain profile of team, I don't care how many dogs they got. I don't care how much they like each other. I don't care who's talking about who, whose wife, whose mom, whose family member's talking about who. There are certain things you can't do when a team comes out in 12 personnel and you got 205-pound linebackers on the football field. I don't care how much you want to get off that block, how much you want to fill that hole. You aren't going to be able to fill that hole. And when teams identify that and start pressing on that weak point, it goes from being a little bit of a crack in the foundation to the foundation just crumbles. And then they can't do nothing about it. So to me, you know, look, culture ain't stopping the team on third and short. Culture is not stopping the wide zone or the inside zone. What is stopping that are linebackers who are bigger, defensive tackles who can get off blocks. Because we've all been on teams or all been a part of teams where it hasn't been always perfect. There's somebody over in the corner talking about somebody else, somebody's family member who doesn't like somebody else. You don't get along with the coach. They have a personnel problem. And they better fix it. Otherwise, they're going to keep getting knocked out of the playoffs.
All right, I love it. All right, let me do one more sound off for you guys. You know who we haven't heard from in a while?
Uh-oh.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers gave us more insight into his retirement timeline yesterday, and his answer might surprise you.
Really been in a good place rehab-wise from the start and feeling really good. And, you know, again, I'm hopeful I can play 2 or 3 or 4 more years.
2 or 3 or 4.
I can't do it.
You can't do
it. I can't, Greeny, I cannot do it. Four
do
more
what?
Years.
Yes.
Of Tuesday reaction to what, Roger? I can't, I don't know if I have it in me.
Oh, I've got it in me. I'll tell you right now. Here's what I got in me. Here's the thing, okay? Let me just go back. Lewis today was talking about what happened 12, 13 months ago. Well, let me talk about what happened 12, 13 months ago. All the stuff that has been said, there have been a lot of words spoken both by and about Aaron Rodgers. But let's go with what actually happens on the field. The best part about losing your quarterback 4 plays into a season is that he has the maximum amount of time to recover. So however healthy he could potentially be under any circumstances, he's going to be. Mm. A year ago, the Jets became a Super Bowl team by acquiring Aaron Rodgers. They haven't really lost any of the players they had on that team. And now I feel like no one even mentions them in the conversation about teams that could do something. So what do we expect them to be?
I don't expect them to be anything until I see them on the field.
Yeah.
The thing that we can't do in this offseason is give them the AFC East Championship like we did last year.
Right.
Because what we did realize is, much like Lewis mentioned about the Dallas Cowboys, there's some personnel problems in New York as well.
Yeah.
Who else are we going to throw the ball to outside of Garrett Wilson? How is Nathaniel Hackett going to make sure he can put the football in Breece Hall's hands enough to where he's effective and it leads to the play action game? How is Aaron Rodgers going to get the football off? Because here's also what you missed, Greeny. The reason that he was done after 4 plays is because they didn't block nobody.
Now,
it's a little difficult. Like, quarterbacks just don't run around getting hurt, Greeny. He was hurt because he was getting sacked. Almost choked.
he's so upset.
He's so upset.
Can't even take it. Lewis, we're going to redo the offensive line. You and I will be together in Detroit at the draft. We'll take a tackle.
We almost lost him for good, actually.
The second time we almost lost him in a few weeks. Okay, quickly. We got offensive line. We're going to redo the entire thing in the draft. We'll go out and sign free agents. Rodgers will come back. The future is bright. Lewis, yes?
No.
Great, Greeny, I know you're optimistic, bro. I know you are, man. I know you want to believe so bad.
So bad.
You just want to plug in a couple of them big dudes in this draft and be like, everything's going to be great. Greeny, they're not a Super Bowl team, bro. They're not. They got some work to do. But I will say this. I will say this, though. Look, have you seen him and Kirk Cousins? Have you seen how Kirk Cousins has been looking, too, coming off of these Achilles, man?
Yeah.
Whoever these surgeons are that are performing these surgeries and these rehab specialists, my God. I mean, they are earning their money. The Jets will be better with him. But, hey, let's just slow down on the Super Bowl talk. Let's just slow down.
I'm just glad I'm alive.
You okay? Okay. Believe it then. The Super Bowl might be a little far for us. Let's see. Okay. Much more football as we go. The squad, as you can see, is ready. But Austin Rivers, let's run the floor. A lot of interesting moments in the NBA last night. Let's start with KD. He had 35. Suns beat the Nuggets in overtime. Is Phoenix a team we should be paying attention to?
They're dangerous. They got talent. When you got a guy like that, Kevin Durant, who's capable of scoring on anywhere of the floor, more. Obviously, they're missing Devin Booker as well. With those two, when you have Kevin and Devin surrounded by the role play that they have, Eric Gordon, Grayson Allen is having a career year. Royce O'Neal has been a good pickup for them. Nurkic, they're talented. We haven't seen it consistently, and that's a worry, so that's what we got to look out for.
I think the Suns are a team to pay close attention to down the stretch. Meanwhile, what are the right things to say about Victor Wembanyama right now?
Oh, well, listen, he got 45 drops on him last night, so I don't want to give too much praise for him last night, but 7 blocks. He's been marvelous all season. I think the Spurs really are under pressure this summer to surround him with a decent point guard. He's played this well without one. You only imagine if you put someone next to him that could tee him up to get some easy points, how good he can be.
Sometimes I watch him with the ball. It looks like he is a decent point guard.
Yeah, he can do it all, man.
It's frightening. I mean, we opened the show with the Cavaliers coming back again. In case you didn't see this, Cavs led by that guy, D-Wade. And by that, I mean Dean Wade.
Yeah.
Came from 22 down in the fourth quarter to beat a Boston team that hadn't lost in over a month. So I don't want to overstate this one loss for the Celtics. It happens, right? I mean, you just took your foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. They got a questionable call at the end, and it happens. But I want to hear your take on something I talked about with Legler yesterday.
Okay.
I'm watching your dad's team right now in Milwaukee. I'm watching them knock off the Clippers the other night without Giannis and Dame starting to cook a little bit.
Yep.
And I feel like the momentum is starting to move in the right direction. And I don't know, maybe I've been burned too many times by believing in this group of Celtics. I know they've added a piece or two. I really believe the Bucks are not, they're not just the biggest threat to the Celtics, which I think is an easy thing to say.
Yeah.
I think they are a legitimate threat. I think it is a two-horse race, not a one-horse race in the East.
I agree with you. I think this was hard to see and say, you know, a month ago.
Right.
And obviously, when Doc first got there, you know, the Damian Giannis thing hadn't really worked. They had a lot of turmoil. A lot of stuff happened during the season. Obviously, Dame for Drew is a big transaction, and you know Dame's a totally different player than Drew, so that was going to take some time. But you're starting to see this team now play with a little chip on their shoulder. They added Pat Beverly, who's been marvelous for them. He's added a little bit of just toughness to their perimeter defense. They still, I think, need more perimeter defense. But I mean, listen, man, this team's rolling right now. And if we talk about who could contend and who could compete against Boston, Milwaukee's absolutely right there with a healthy New York Knicks right behind them.
People keep talking about the Knicks if they get healthy. First of all, I mean, it's such a shame what has happened.
Yeah.
Because as one who's lived here pretty much all my life, I mean, they've finally become a fun team for the fans to root for. And now they're just decimated by injury. But at the end of the day, with all, I mean, Jalen Brunson has had a magnificent season.
Balling.
But if you're going to get in a 7-game series with those Celtics, I will take Giannis, and I will take Dame, and I will take my chances.
You know, the biggest thing for me is now Giannis has a closer. You know, Dame has been one of the best clutch players that we've seen in the past 10 years. He now has a guy that can help him close games. Giannis is a lot of things, but he's one guy that can't really shoot. So when the playoffs happen and that game shrinks and he can't really get to the basket, you need a guy like this. So now that they have that, Middleton's getting healthy. Again, Beasley's having a career year. Portis is starting to find his rhythm. You're starting to see this team fall into place and be what we thought they could be when Dame first got there, and that is a contending team.
Absolutely. I'm planting my flag on this. The Bucks and the Celtics, if they meet in the NBA in the Eastern Conference Finals, which I think is where this ultimately is all, I give Milwaukee an X, much more than just a puncher's chance of getting to the finals. By the way, we got good basketball coming your way tonight. Good doubleheader. We got the Rockets hosting Kawhi and the Clippers at 7:30. Then you will see Giannis and the Bucks taking on Steph and the Warriors. Good games tonight.
Yeah, big game.
Coverage NBA Countdown 7 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, would it be a huge mistake for the Steelers not to make a big change at quarterback? That's the question. RC's got the answer. Next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back on Get Up, and it is my favorite part of the show. Every day, would Kmart be shocked if? Here we go, Kimberly. Would you be shocked if Justin Fields is still on the Bears next week?
This is so great because that picture is actually from a Bears-Browns game. But I would not be shocked if he were on the Bears still by next week. You know why? Because other teams know that the Bears want to move on from Justin Fields. And if I'm the Falcons, if I'm the Steelers, I also want to check in on Kirk Cousins and Baker. I know the Bears are desperate to move on, but I'm going to take my time and make sure that I survey the landscape before I commit to giving up stuff for Justin Fields.
We're going to talk at length about this a little bit later in the situation the Bears are in. Meanwhile, Kmart, would you be shocked if Kirk Cousins is a Falcon next week?
Absolutely not. One thing we know about Kirk Cousins, he is the finesse king of the NFL. You know why? Because he has a fantastic agent in Mike McCartney. Listen, this is how Kirk does it. He bides his time, and when his leverage is at its highest, he cashes in. He's had a great time in Minnesota, but as we said earlier in the show, there are reasons that Falcons roster, his wife is from Georgia, and also the connection with Zach Robinson, Sean McVay, back to watch, all that stuff makes sense for Kirk Cousins.
Everyone came back from the combine telling me Kirk Cousins is going to Atlanta. One more, would you be shocked if Kenny Pickett is the Steelers' starting quarterback week one of this season?
Greeny, I would not be shocked, but I would not like it. Listen, here's the reality. He's going to be on the roster. We haven't seen the Steelers be super aggressive when it comes to free agent quarterbacks or move up in the draft to get a quarterback super high. If they end up with Kenny Pickett, it seems sort of like the same Band-Aid situation that we've been in. I would like to see the Steelers do something else.
Well, that's an interesting way to put it, because I think sometimes we talk about him that way, and I understand what you mean by it. He was a first-round pick. I mean, for what 20th, it's worth, yes. He was a first-round pick not that long ago. But, yes, I think many people do almost still view it as though, well, why are they not going out and getting somebody else? And when it comes to matters, all things terrible towel, I immediately always turn to our friend Mr. Clark here. So what is your take on the way they're handling the quarterback situation?
You heard Kimberly talk about the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't normally aggressive in the quarterback market.
Right.
They aren't normally aggressive in the free agent market at all.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that this team has been built through the draft throughout the last few decades. And so you draft Kenny Pickett 20th overall three drafts ago. And this team and the way that they work and the way that Mike Tomlin works with loyalty and feeling like he can get people to play their best, they don't just give up. So they aren't going to go out and make a run at Baker Mayfield. They aren't going to go out and make a run at Kirk Cousins. And honestly, the one player I think they should make a run at would be Justin Fields. And it would get Justin Fields. It would be signed Justin Fields and move with Justin Fields forward into your future with that being your number one guy. But that ain't how they work. At Heinz Field. That's not how it works on the south side of Pittsburgh. And so what they're going to do is they're going to try to go out and get a veteran that can push Kenny Pickett, a veteran that they can have an unbiased competition with. And if Kenny Pickett wins that, now they can walk into the season and say, okay, we went out and we tried to improve at the position, whether it's a Ryan Tannehill or Russell Wilson. And Kenny Pickett was a better choice than they were to lead the team this year. So now we have the confidence in the guy we drafted in the first round with the 20th pick. And if they do all that, it is going to be on brand for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's going to be dead wrong in this situation because you're going to strap your team to a quarterback that can't lead you to the promised land. And the reason that the terrible towel means something, the reason that the six Lombardis mean something is because that organization was built on excellence. Kenny Pickett is not going to be your leader to the promised land of excellence. Mm-hmm. And if he's not, I do believe it's time to go do something to make it different at that position.
And no time like the present. I'm with you. Lewis, it's a complicated one. What do you think?
I think it's a layered issue. Right? One, they're going to have to add quarterbacks because they only have one under contract, and that's Kenny.
Yeah.
Because Mason's a free agent. Two, it's going to be important for them, without a doubt, to improve the competition in the quarterback room. I don't think they would be, you know, negligent to not upgrade the competition. Kenny needs to be pushed. Kenny needs to be challenged. There's no question about that. And I think that the organization as a whole understands that, and I think they will do that. I think number three, I think they are aware of the fact that what Kenny was subjected to under Matt Canada is not what is going to allow him to develop into the quarterback that he needs to become here in his third year. And that's why they went out and they got Arthur Smith. And Arthur flew and met with Kenny Pickett going forward. I think obviously Ryan is dead right. He knows Mike Tomlin as well as anyone. And I know in my time in talking with Mike Tomlin, which has been many different times. He is someone who invests in people, and he invests in them for the long haul. And he is not going to be swayed by what has happened in the two previous years, especially considering the fact that he knows that Matt Canada wasn't the guy. He wasn't it, and people were telling him that for a long time. But did he fire Matt Canada? Did he care about what we said about that? No, he did not. So he is going to go ahead and continue to build this football team, which offensive line-wise is getting much better. Broderick Jones is going to be an absolute animal at right tackle. They have got running backs. They've got wide receivers. They've got a tight end. Now they need this quarterback to take the next step. If it's Kenny, great. I believe that they wish and they hope that it will be Kenny Pickett. But if it's not, then so be it. And I think they need to bring someone in to go ahead and push him who could potentially even take the job from him if he doesn't raise his game in this third season. I think that's how they will approach it because they are pros in Pittsburgh. That's what they are.
Yeah, I think what RC said earlier is the crux of it. What the Steelers do. The Steelers don't typically do this. My pushback to that would be maybe it's time the Steelers try something else because we see where it's gotten us. 16.8, that's the amount of points per game Kenny Pickett averaged last year. That's ahead of Zach Wilson. Like that offense isn't good enough. And I understand Matt Canada, he was hamstrung by Matt Canada. There's blind loyalty. It's Mike Tomlin, he loves his people, but at some point you have to do something different.
I know it isn't as simple as this binary proposition, but RC, if right this minute, every team in the NFL had the choice between Kenny Pickett and Justin Fields, and how many of them would take Kenny Pickett?
Not even the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yet that's what they're choosing to do. Yeah. Justin Fields is just sitting there. He's available
but
for
you
these
know what?
Good people. Go ahead, Lewis.
You know what? It may come down to that. Because if the market's as soft for Justin Fields as we all believe it is right now, he may fall right into their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be, what would be more Pittsburgh Steeler than that? Than for them to wait, stay true to the game as they see it, and not go out and do something totally out of character for them, but let it come to them. I would not put that past happening. Look, I would bet on that. I would bet on that kind of thing happening.
And we also have to remember, as Kimberly talked about, doing something different.
Yeah.
Omar Khan is going into his second year as the GM after he takes over for Kevin Colbert. And so it's going to be, how does he put his imprint on this team? Kenny Pickett wasn't his draft pick.
Right.
Does he see a way to improve if Justin Fields isn't traded for by the time the draft is near?
Is it Justin Fields? I have so much to say about that. Let me take a quick. By the way, baseball fans, ESPN spring training schedule wraps up tomorrow. 1 Eastern, Braves and Red Sox in Fort Myers. It's also available on the ESPN app. Much more football as we go, plus, the epic collapse. Did you see what happened to Boston last night? Did you see the way this game actually ended? If you didn't, you aren't going to believe it. Next.